Matthew 14. And I forgot to give you scriptures. It's okay. I can read it, I think. Oh, okay. Can I get a water? Oh, you need a key. Okay, so Matthew 14, we'll go over today. It's going to be the whole thing, kind of a collage of things. But we'll do the whole 14. Okay. Let us go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We love you for everything you've done and for the things that you haven't done yet for us. Lord, we know that you have us in mind in everything that you do for us. Lord, bless this teaching. May it come from you and not me. Lord, just pray that these youth may be filled with your spirit. Guide us and direct us, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today we kind of go over, like I said, a collage of things. In the last couple parts in Matthew, we've been going through like 12. 12 took forever to go through. But this one kind of hits on like more of servanthood. And thank you to the people that came last week and served. I got multiple congratulations on you guys. And kudos to you. I know we're not doing it for congratulations, but we're doing it to serve. But it was appreciated. So I'm trying to get across. So you guys were great. Also, they would like to see if we could do it again, if you guys are okay with that. Yes, maybe, yes, no. There'll be more kids next time. They'd like to see it maybe once a month, but we'll see what time has allowed. So. Doing announcements. So like Caleb was doing for announcements. You are very good at talking. I think.
Well, you would do it with one of us.
Yeah, no.
You'd be the only one out there. Yeah. Like,
but kind of falls in line again, like that servanthood. And today, it touches on servanthood in 14 as well. It first starts off with John the Baptist, right? So through Matthew, we've been touching on and speaking of, like John the Baptist is decreasing, Jesus increasing. Now we come across to the part where John the Baptist is deceasing. We'll put it that way. Dang. Okay, so let's go through. We'll start in verse 1. It says, at that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard the report about Jesus, said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore his powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. So he's speaking in that part about Jesus right there, because he's hearing all the things that Jesus is doing, and he's thinking, wow, this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison. Luke 3:19 puts it, speaking of Herod, says, but Herod the tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and all the evils which Herod had done. And verse 20 of Luke 3 also says, also added this, above all, that he shut John up in prison. Herodias, the female Herodias, wanted John put in prison. That's the reason he was put in jail, because John the Baptist spoke out against what they were doing. Herod had went after basically Philip's wife, which is his brother. That's a big no-no, right? You don't do that. And then, so he publicly shamed Herod and Herodias against what they were doing. And going on in verse 4 of chapter 14, it says, "Because John had said to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude." That was Herod, feared the multitude. "Because they counted him as a prophet." So Leviticus 18:16 says, and this is concerning what Herod was doing, it says, "You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness." And Leviticus 20:21 says, "If a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing, and he has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless." So speaking against them is what he was doing. He was bringing out what Philip and Herod, well, what Herod was doing with Herodias. And big no-no. So the reason he was put in jail. So going on in verse 6, it says, "But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, his daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask." There comes the bad part. "So she said," it says, "so she, having been prompted by her mother, said, 'Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter.'" So during the party, they wanted John the Baptist's head because of an oath, right? And then going on, it says, "And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. Then the disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." That's pretty low. So it should void whatever oaths. I mean, you should not do wrong. If you made an oath, doing wrong to make that oath come true is wrong. That should have just voided it right there, but because of the people that were around him, he felt like he had to do it. You ever seen those people in school that because there's people around you or them that they do things that they know they shouldn't? Well, that's what this Herod did. He felt sorry and said it right there, but he still did it. So, and this was a ruler, somebody that you should have looked to for a leader. He wasn't a king, but he was a ruler. Later on, and it will talk about how Herod and Herodias' demise came. He actually went and he went to talk to, I think it was Saul, and asked to be crowned. And from there, he's like, "No, I'm not going to give you a crown. You're not going to be a ruler." He actually ends up being exiled. Him and Herodias were exiled out. And then later they committed suicide. So, and if you notice, at the end when it talked about John the Baptist and his body, What's it say when the Bibles came to take the body away? They buried it. They didn't say they buried him. They buried it. So in that case, when we're, because John the Baptist, awesome guy, believed in God, believed in Jesus, is not in his body anymore. He's in heaven. So his spirit is not with him. His soul's not with him. It's just a body. So you should feel happy for the people. But so they did what they did, and they buried it. They didn't bury him. They buried it. So just something to show you there when it mentions the body. So now, like I said, it kind of is a collage of things in this chapter. Now it goes on to feeding 5,000. So verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So I'm supposing when they heard of the news of John the Baptist's death, they were looking for somebody. And Jesus was already establishing his following, so he gathered the others as well. And they were looking for somebody to show them the way. And Jesus is the way. So in verse 15, we look and it says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go to the villages and buy themselves food. So they are in the middle of nowhere. They're following Jesus. They're getting fed spiritually, but they have no food. But Jesus in 16 says to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down in the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they ate, and they were filled. And they looked, then they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and that remained. Now those who have eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. So when it says Jesus feeds 5,000, it was just talking about men, not including the women and children. You imagine how many people were fed then? That was a lot. And to have 12 baskets full when they only had 1 basket with 5 loaves and 2 fish. From that, I would not doubt our God. God is amazing. He can take nothing and make something. He can take us brokenness, us as nobody, and as long as you put your trust in him and your faith in him, he can make you into something. So, so here's, then moving on to Jesus in, he walks on the sea. In Matthew 14:22, we'll go through 33. It says, immediately, Jesus and his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. So he's sending the multitudes away. He sent the disciples away first to get on a boat. And he was sending the multitudes away. He did that by himself. He was shaking hands, hugging necks. And then he was trying to go away and pray by himself. If you remember earlier on in this chapter, that's what Jesus was trying to do after John the Baptist was beheaded. We all need time alone with God. We all need our spiritual time. If you're not doing it, I suggest that you do. You find time to spend with God, that you can hear from him. We do need to gather in church so we can be one with him in church. You know, we're two or more that gathered. He is there in our midst. But you also need that time with him. Okay, so in verse 23, it says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, look at this, it says, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. I mean, they weren't expecting a man to be walking on water. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It's like coming down, it's windy, it's like uproarish there, and he's saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. So, and then it goes on to 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And Peter had come down from the boat, out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Wow. So at this point, I have a little presentation on the screen. It's done by the skit guys. I don't know if you've ever seen the skit. I've showed it once before, not this one, but like the parachute it's called. This one is Jesus Saves Peter. It puts it together kind of nicely. Of what was around him. And he took his eyes off of God, off of Christ, and Jesus. What happens to us when we take our thought and our minds off Jesus? We get sidetracked. We get enveloped by the world and our sin. So it's a good skit. I like to see a visual as well, and that helps. So, and then going on in Matthew 14, we'll finish this out in 34 through 36. It says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it, they were perfectly well. So it wasn't a matter of he had holy clothes on. They were clothes. But because they had faith that he had the power to heal is what was healing them. All through this chapter, we see the serving that Jesus was doing. We also see that the disciples had their trust levels a little off. They didn't believe that many loaves and fish could feed people. But God showed them through servanthood. He prayed as well that for the meal, and it happened. It fed everyone. So Jesus was serving the people as well as having the disciples serve them and then picking up after them. And then he just goes on and continues to bless people and to heal them. Even though Jesus was trying to get away to have some time alone with God, he still made time for people. That in all is 14. Unfortunately, John the Baptist found his demise by the wickedness of others, but fulfilled the prophecy as well, that he must decrease. But unfortunately, I mean, choice over was decease, but it was true. He decreased, and Jesus is now even more increasing. People are following him, even the followers that were John the Baptist's followers and his disciples are now following him. So hopefully that was some insight to you on this. So we will go ahead and pray this one out for the day. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We ask that you may use us in any capacity, Lord, that you feel fit. Lord, just may you humble us during this week and show us your way. Lord, that you are our King, our ruler over all. Lord, just remove anything in our surroundings that may be causing us to sin. Lord, bring them to us that we may see it is wrong. Lord, I thank you for these youth. May they continue to grow in this word, and you, most of all. Lord, show us your way and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.